The views and opinions expressed on the following show are those of the host and not necessarily those of Bigler Broadcasting or the staff and management of FM Talk 106.5.
It's time for the George Williams Show on FM Talk 106.5. George Williams, retired U.S. Marine Major, Vietnam veteran, retired federal agent, former vice chairman of the Alabama Republican Party, and world traveler, brings his wealth of information, sharing his thoughts on today's politics, and taking your calls and texts at 251-343-0106. Now, making the mission possible, here's George Williams.
Welcome everyone out there in Radio Land. I am George Williams, and I am your host of the George Williams Show. I'm so glad to be back on the air with you. We have a lot to cover tonight, folks, a whole bunch to cover. First, there is some fake information coming out to Democrats from all over, from all crooks, and then, it's coming out. And one of the biggest ones, okay, there are a lot of them, okay, but with the audit that was recently conducted in Maricopa County, which is part of Phoenix, Arizona, and last week, the main lion media were saying that Trump won. I'm sorry. Trump did win. But they were saying Biden won, okay? Which is the farthest from the truth, folks. Biden did not win. Trump won that. And it's unbelievable. Dick Morris, he knows the situation. We want to hear him. We're going to have a real nice guest tonight. And it's going to be very interesting. So what we're going to do now is play Dick Morris and listen to what he has to say.
Winston Churchill put it best. He said, a lie can make it halfway around the world while the truth is still putting its shoes on in the morning. And that's exactly what happened with the Arizona audit. Stupidly, the Arizona Republican Party chose to release the audit at 4 p.m. Pacific time on a Friday. If you want to bury a story, that's the way to do it. But the result was that the Democrats leaked some of the partial audit results earlier in the day, and that story made it all the way across the country, all the way around the world, before the actual audit itself was released. The important point to understand here is the difference between an audit and a recount. What the Democrats released was a recount, which meant you took all the ballots, legit and illegit, and you counted them again to make sure you didn't make a mistake the last time. And they found there were a couple of dozen extra votes for Biden, but nothing significant. But the audit had very different conclusions and basically proved that Trump won the state. The audit showed that there were 44,000 votes that were cast and counted that shouldn't have been. Half of them from people who voted twice, and the other half from people who didn't live where they said that they'd lived, in some cases put a vacant lot as their address. So don't let the rumors spread around that the audit vindicated Joe Biden and made a mockery of Donald Trump. That's what they're trying to peddle now. The fact is, the audit revealed that this election should not have awarded Arizona to Biden.
All right, folks, that is from Dick Morris, and that is a true situation when, you read this audit report. Biden did not win Arizona, just like he did not win Georgia and some of the other states. So when you hear these lies and the fake news, folks, don't listen to it. Don't listen to it. It is not true. All right. I wanted to bring that out because that's very important. That is very important. Now we have a special guest, and I'm going to introduce him, and he's going to tell us his new title. You will know him when I introduce him, and he's held several state election offices, and he is Mr. John McMillan. How you doing, sir?
I'm doing great, George. Good to be back with you again in a different capacity.
Yes, yes. Tell our audience, you were the state treasurer, correct?
That's right. And effective Friday, I will become the director of the Alabama Medical Cannabis Commission.
All right. Tell us about that. You also, for 8 years, served as the agriculture commissioner.
Alabama. That's right. Sure did, and had experience there with industrial hemp, which is substantially different from the medical cannabis. But it did give us some ag background to the whole deal.
Right.
Well, in the regular session of the legislature, the legislature passed a bill setting up a medical cannabis commission in the state, mm-hmm. made up of 14 people, okay. appointed by various elected officials in the state, and they were tasked with hiring a director and implementing this program from scratch. Mm-hmm. So starting Friday, that's what we're going to be doing. We're going to be, we have found an office, but we're going to be setting up everything it takes to run a state agency, and that was one of the very big attractions for me in having an interest in this position.
Okay, all right. So you're starting from the bottom.
From scratch. No money, no office, no phone, no nothing.
I hope you got a budget now.
A small one, thanks to Governor Ivey. She loaned us enough contingency money to get operational, and we probably will be asking the legislature in January to provide funding for us to have a year-long budget.
Right. Now, where are you going to be based out of?
We're going to be in one of the retirement systems of Alabama buildings right down on Dexter Avenue. It's the office building that was built around the old Supreme Court building down there.
Okay. Now, I know, are you going to also be an enforcement agency in this? Are you going to have that?
We will eventually. The first task we're going to have, George, is two things: to get the rules and regulations drafted, okay. and to get the several databases that we got to be able to implement up and running as well. We got to have databases to keep up with the doctors that are allowed to prescribe medical cannabis. We've got to have databases on the people who have had the prescriptions, and they'll be issued a plastic card, kind of like a credit card.
Okay.
The dispensaries, the growing and security and oversight and the location of dispensaries and the sale of the medical products will all be under the commission, and it won't be part of the local drugstore, for example, because it's not approved by the FDA, so it has to be handled on a totally separate system. So we got a lot to do and a short time to do it.
Now, me being a retired DEA special agent, the cannabis is still outlaw on a federal level. How do you
That's
get
right.
around that?
That's right.
Yeah.
And this is all very tightly secured. All the information, it's a very, the bill is a little over 100 pages, like 104 pages. And it's very specific about the type professions that people have to be in to be eligible to be appointed to the commissions, like for an oncologist or cancer doctor, for one, for example.
Right.
And it goes on through all kind of different things, pharmacists and lawyers and agriculture people, agribusiness people. So
right.
it's a good commission. It wound up being, in spite of those prescribed professions, an excellent commission, and particularly, you know, because then the appointing authorities have to take into consideration the diversity, geographic and race and all that sort of stuff as well.
Right, right. We got about another half a minute, and
okay.
And before we go into our first break, because we have some more questions for you. But sure. but it's going to be very interesting. And when we get back from the break, I want to ask you about those individuals who are currently growing that stuff all over the place, and how are we going to control that?
Okay.
You know, because you're going to always have those on the other side of the fence, you know, who are trying to make some quick money. Mm-hmm. And it's to me, you know, for medical purposes, it's good. There's no problem with that. But when we get back from the break, I would like to ask you what about the growers?
Absolutely.
All right. Thank you, folks. We're talking to John McMillan, who is the new executive director of the, what do you call it, John?
Alabama Medical Cannabis Commission.
Oh, Alabama Medical Campus. Okay. Commission. All right. We'll be right back, folks.
Okay.
Welcome back to the George Williams Show. Your texts and comments at 251-343-0106. Now, making the mission possible, here's George Williams.
Welcome back, folks. Welcome back. I am George Williams, your host, and we are on a mission. We are talking with Mr. John McMillan, who is the new executive director of the Alabama Medical Cannabis Commission. I got to get used to that name.
Yeah, I'm already in the process of trying to train myself to say medical cannabis instead of medical marijuana.
Right. Now, there's a lot of misinformation about this. And one of the questions I have is how is it this medical marijuana grown? How is it this cannabis?
That's a good question, George, because we've already heard from people that think they can go out in the change the garden in the backyard to grow cannabis or their field that they maybe have been growing industrial hemp, and that's just a total different ball game.
Okay.
The medical cannabis has to be grown really inside and ideally in a hydroponic situation with all the high-tech lights and everything that goes with, you know, with growing hydroponic vegetables for that matter, because the purity is a big part of this deal, is a big part of the medicine, and it has to be tested to be sure that no fertilizers were used, no herbicides, no pesticides, that it doesn't contain any heavy metals. So it's a pretty technical deal and a very sophisticated program to grow this stuff. And you can't just do it. You just can't go out in the greenhouse or somewhere and do it.
Yeah.
Because another big part of that is the security. If you got it, it's got to virtually be grown under lock and key.
Ah.
And the legislation requires, round the clock security with cameras or in person and that sort of thing. So.
Right.
And we certainly don't want it hitting the streets unregulated. So that's an important thing.
All right. Now, I must say this, okay? As an agent, DEA agent, we raided quite a few of those indoor Parapharmaceutical laboratories.
Yeah.
So I already know about those. But if we're going to make them legal, like you said, the security have to be there. It has to be there.
Yeah, and one of the key parts of that security is a seed to sale or seed to product tracking system.
Okay.
So when the people that have the license to grow this medical cannabis, once that seed sprouts and becomes a plant, it's got to have a identification that tracks it all the way through to its final use.
Mm-hmm.
If there even has to be a system that tracks any of it that is disposed of and not processed. So it's a very stringent process.
Oh, okay. All right. That's very, 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 very important.
Yeah, that's another one of the databases that we've got to put together, is that tracking system.
Okay.
We call it seed to sale.
Right. So can you tell that, like, I know, and based on my law enforcement, career with DEA, and I'm a retired special agent, there are already some of those labs illegally going on. How do we eliminate those individuals? Because you know they're gonna try to incorporate. What does it take to get? Do you need a license? What does it take to get a license to do this?
Yeah, there are several different kinds of licenses. There's license for cultivators and licenses for processors, and then there's an overall license called an integrator license, where that would be a company or an individual that gets licensed to grow it, process it, and sell the products. The dispensary license is another key part of this. Okay. We mentioned earlier that this is not approved by the FDA, so the sales of it have to take place in a dispensary that's completely separate from the drugstore, for example. Mm-hmm. So that's another part of it. As far as the enforcement on the black market sales, for example, we're going to be depending heavily on the Eurol agency and the Alabama law enforcement agency and local sheriffs and municipal law enforcement folks to work with us on that, as they do already. Before we have the cannabis, medical cannabis. So we're probably going to, and I hadn't met with them yet, but we're going to probably meet with Aaliyah, for example, and try to work out a memorandum of understanding with them on helping us with the enforcement of the security requirements, because they got guys out in the field, that understand that and know what to do and know what to look for. And there'll have to be some training, as you well know. Yeah. Probably going to call on you for some advice on how we can go about the most effective ways of the security issue.
Yeah, it's very important, because I was speaking to a special agent in charge of the Mobile office tonight, and he's got a lot of experience on these labs. And, these labs are all over the place, okay? These hyperphonic labs, that's what we call them. And they're indoors under lights, okay? And we used to figure out somebody's how much they were paying a month for the electric. Normally they pay, say, $70 or $100, $200 a month. And all of a sudden, their electric bill goes up to $900 or $1,000 a month. So, something is happening in that particular location. Okay, so that's one of the ways that you can tell, and you have to get the cooperation from the power companies. Okay, but I'll talk to you about that in private.
Yeah, I'd love to talk to you about that. Yeah. Another important part of this whole thing, George, is that every one of these different licenses, of course, the integrated license is kind of an overall license, but they even have to be licenses and databases for the transportation and the dispensaries and every component of it as well. So it's a pretty complex deal with a lot of thought put into the legislation, and our challenge is going to be to get it all put together right and get it done and get the agency up and running.
Right. How long do you think it's going to be before the agency is up and running?
Well, that's a great question. We're going to be up and running Friday, as far as being an entity and a location and a website. Not going to be much on the website initially, but the one of the questions we get is, how soon can people apply for licenses to do the various projects, processes that are involved in this, and that's a good question. We really don't know. We're gonna go to school on what other states have done and where they are. Florida is probably the most ramped up state that's near us. And you're right; they tell us to grow it properly and to keep. You're gonna do it right and to have a supply if you're an integrator and processing it. You got to have a crop coming along about every week. It takes True. About 90 days to grow a crop. And so you got to have enough growing area that you can grow what you need so that about every week you'll have some to process every week or so.
Mm-hmm.
And so getting into this business, that's another thing along with the license. And it's going to be months. The law says that we have to have license applications available by September of 22.
Okay.
We hope we're going to be able to do it right and do it a little bit quicker than that, but our focus is going to be on getting it right.
Right, right.
But if people will just keep up with our website and understand that getting these rules and regulations, that state government doesn't work like I tell folks I work with in Treasury, like the real world.
Right.
We have to go through the request for proposals just to hire a lawyer, for example. We've got to go through that.
Definitely.
We've got to go through contract review with these rules and regulations. We'll have to have public hearings. And, you know, the list goes on of the bureaucracy that gets involved. And that's not – I'm not using that in a derogatory term. It's necessary for the transaction of business in a – transparent
right.
way so that everybody that's interested in it, any citizen, you know, all of our meetings open to the public and all that kind
right.
of thing. So,
John, I got to stop
a whole
you.
Lot involved, as you know.
Yeah. John, I got to stop you. We're going into our next break. But if you hang on until after the break, we'll continue. Okay?
Sure.
All right, folks, we're talking to Mr. John McMillan. And we'll be right back after this break.
Welcome back to the George Williams Show. Your texts and comments at 251-343-0106. Now, making the mission possible, here's George Williams.
All right, folks, I am back. I'm on a mission, and our mission right now is to find out from Mr. John McMillan, who is the executive director of the Alabama Medical Cannabis Commission. What's going to be your title? Commissioner? Is that what they're going to call you?
Director? It's just director. Yeah.
All right, so I'm going to get used to that. Director McMillan.
Well, the simplest thing is just call me John.
Like I've been doing all these years, right?
That's right.
All right, John. All right, John. What are the requirements for a license, for someone to get a license?
Yeah, there are different requirements for different types of licenses, but it's not going to be an easy process.
Okay.
You know, a lot of people are confusing us already with industrial hemp, which mm-hmm. has to be permitted, but it's relatively simple. Even though you have to have inspections and testing and stuff like that, but mm-hmm. this goes way beyond that. It's going to be there's tremendous requirements in it, like the financial ability to operate these expensive processes, mm-hmm. even things like transportation. And so the licenses are fairly expensive. We're going to have to determine as near as possible that the financial resources are there for the in the hands of the applicant,
okay.
So that we're not going to be wasting our time fooling with people that don't really know what they're doing or have the resources to make it happen. So that's a big part of it.
Right.
One part of I mentioned the databases that we're going to have, and one part of the legislation requires the doctors that are going to issue these prescriptions to be certified by the state medical association, and that will include a training program with periodic updates for the doctors themselves. So it's a pretty well thought out thing, and it's going to require everybody that's going to participate to be straight up folks, however they do it,
right.
With strict penalties if they're not.
Right. Now, John, you and I both know I've been on arrest of several doctors who illegally giving prescriptions out. Okay.
Right. Yep.
How are we going to control that? Do they have to see the patients in person?
Yeah, they do. They'll have to see the patients, and they'll have to be able to justify that. There's a list. I don't have it in front of me, but in the legislation, there's a list of the maladies that you can that they're allowed to prescribe this for.
Okay.
And generally, it's something that's extremely painful, like folks in the terminal stages of cancer, right, or some of those things that it seems to be prescribed more for pain or unique situations than for anything else. Now, our legislation does allow prescriptions for depression and anxiety, and not just things that more easily to identify, but there's going to be follow-up with the medical association and continuing education requirements, and we're going to always have some renegades, as you just pointed out,
that are
going to try to take advantage of it, and that's where, again, the oversight of the state medical association and the attorney general and people that enforce those requirements already are going to just add this to their list of things to be on the lookout for with renegade doctors or whatever kind of profession it might be.
Right. Another question is, who's going to be making the revenue from this?
Well, the legislation is set up for the first few years. Most of the money is going to be licensing and stuff like that. You know, the sales are not going to be coming on for the first few years because of all the things we've talked about, plus the time it takes to grow a crop, process it, and all that. So initially, all the revenue is going to go to the agency to pay for operating the commission. But then after the first, and I'm going to say it's 3 to 5 years, I don't remember which, the legislature determined and set the percentages that will go to the general fund. There's another percentage that will go we'll have to set up a program to approve the research that our state universities will be undertaking on this, particularly the ag universities like Auburn and A&M and mm-hmm. and Tuskegee, those schools in particular, for that part of it. So, you know, it goes on, and it's going to be a continuing operation and be bigger as time goes on. Some estimates are, and this is just judging by the revenue in other states and comparing population bases and stuff like that, that within a few years, our revenue coming into the state could be in excess of $200 million.
Whoa, that's a lot of money.
Yeah, and for example, at that time, about, I believe it's 10% will go to the research efforts. So that'll be a big help as well. UAB at the medical school already has a good research program going up there, but it's only there. They legislature several years ago passed a bill to give them an exemption to do research with medical cannabis, and they've been doing that for, that Carnage law passed several years ago. And this legislation was kind of an outgrowth of the success of the research up there, too.
Right. Now, what about, what a role will the board play?
The commission will be responsible for, we'll have to, as an example, I talked about the two most important things being the rules and regulations and the databases, but the commission will ultimately have to adopt those rules and regulations that we'll operate under, that everybody will operate under, and then they'll also be responsible for ultimately awarding the contracts to the database companies that are going to put those programs together.
Okay.
So there'll be, you might say, oversight and supervision and signing off on the work of the commission.
Gotcha. All right. I know you don't have a website set up, so when you get that website, you know, you could let me know, and we'll bring you back.
We'll have something up by Friday or Monday.
Okay.
The Office of Information Technology, a state agency, is working with us on that.
Okay.
And for example, to get up and going, we're just going to lease our computers and copying and telephones and things like that from them. And I mean, I've got to give them and personnel and the finance office and the comptroller and everybody. We've had a retired, very competent state accountant who has worked with us on, even though we wasn't officially in business until October the 1st, she's already been working on setting up accounts. And the October 1st was because that's the beginning of the state fiscal year.
Okay.
So she's already gotten all the accounts set up, gotten the purchasing system set up,
great,
and a lot of things that is going to save us a whole lot of time when we get settled in and start working.
Great.
She's going to have us ready to go.
All right, John, we got about one more minute, so anything else you want to say?
Let's talk about the potential revenue for the state. One part of the legislation sets up a 9% sales tax on the medical prescriptions and products that come out of this program.
Right.
So that's where the big money to the state is going to come in.
Okay. And that's from the users, correct?
That's right. That's to the ultimate buyers. Consumers of the product.
Right. I got you. Excuse me. All right, John. I really appreciate you coming on to talk to us.
Oh, I enjoy it, George. Anytime. And I look forward to keeping your listeners updated on what's going on. And next time I'm in Mobile, we'll get together and visit some and maybe talk to your old buddies that we can get some help from.
Gotcha. All right, John. We really appreciate it. And we're definitely going to have you back on.
Great. See you soon, George.
Thank you. John McMillan, folks. John McMillan, the new executive director of the Alabama Medical Cannabis Commission. We'll be right back.
Welcome back to the George Williams Show. Your texts and comments at 251-343-0106. Now, making the mission possible, here's George Williams.
Welcome back, everybody, out there in Radio Land. We were so glad to have Commissioner or Director John McMillan from the newly established Alabama Medical Cannabis Commission. They've got a lot of work to do, folks. A lot of work to do, but we appreciate what he's doing. It's a heavy task. It is definitely a heavy task. Okay, all right. Did anybody see the rally that President Trump had in Perry, Georgia? I mean, it was tremendous. There were a tremendous amount of folks there. Okay. So if anybody tried to tell me that former President Trump or should be President Trump is irrelevant to the party, they are lying. That would be fake news, folks, because unbelievable. And if you listen to some of the things he said, he was right on 100%. Okay, he talked about the audit in Phoenix. In Maricopa County, and he talked about some other stuff. But I normally have not taken callers on the program, especially when we have guests, but we have a caller now. Caller, you're on the air.
Hi there. We're talking about Maricopa County, huh?
Yes. Yes.
This is a treat for Jones.
Miss Jones, how you doing? All right. Yeah, we're talking about Maricopa.
Doing very well, and I'm glad you did take the call because it's interesting how you did. You see the letter with all the representatives that signed it today. They came out of Maricopa County.
Oh, what was it, please?
In reference to decertify the election.
Great, unbelievable.
Yes. I just thought I'd come and throw that 2 cents in there real quick.
Oh, that is.
I think that that's good to have 40 states on board.
Wow. Well, you know, we are always, always elated to have you on. We had you on last week, and you did a fantastic job. And
Thank you.
Did you set up your website yet for your congressional race?
Actually, I have. I set up a Christian website, actually.
Ah, okay.
Uh-huh. And the reason I did that is because, you know, this is a spiritual war we're in.
Right.
When we realize that. And I think most of us do realize that, but it is give, G-I-V-E, send, S-E-N-D, go.com / L-A Jones.
Okay. Give.
Give, send, go.com / L.A. Jones.
L.A. Jones. Okay.
Yes, sir.
Wow.
Yes, sir.
That is,
yes,
that
sir.
Is great.
But I just wanted to kind of chime in a little bit in reference to that, because I think some great things are about to happen in this country.
Yeah.
You know, once everybody continue to stand up and speak up for the truth.
Yeah. Now, you were in Pennsylvania and you were in Georgia after the November election, and you were there to help monitor and verify the official count, and you were not allowed to do that. And you hear a lot of people, especially in the mainstream media, said there was no corruption. Tell our audience again what you feel about that. You were on site.
Yes, I was on. You know what, George? I think people have to realize the mainstream media is part of the problem, because this is a you call it conspiracy, you call it whatever you want, but I saw with my own eyes the behavior. If there's no cheating going on, why did we have to literally fight to try to get in to watch the recount in both those states? If there's nothing dirty going on, we should be able to walk through the door. And one of the, and I think I shared this with you, one of the security guards that was there, and she was an older black woman, she goes, "Oh, this is just a good opportunity for us." And I was really angry when she said it. And I said, "What do you mean a good opportunity for us? We've always had opportunity." And it was just crazy. I said, "You are in there. You look, you're a black woman, and you're a part of this foolishness." I said, "We should be able to come in and to see these ballots being counted."
Right.
They wouldn't let us in the door.
And this is also happened when you were in Pennsylvania also, right? Georgia,
yeah,
Pennsylvania.
Was Pennsylvania. In Georgia, they were bullying the people, you know, and it was just bad, altogether bad.
Wow.
Even in Georgia as well, you know, they would not let us in to, we were downtown Atlanta, actually, when they were doing that recount. They wouldn't let us in there either.
Right.
In two places. This is a free country, supposedly, and we can't come in to see what's going on. And I think that what's scary to me is that the media is pushing an agenda as though we saw what's going on, we know what's going on, but at the same time, they want us to say, no, it's something else. That's why they have those people from January 6th still locked up.
Right.
They want to instill fear in us.
Yeah, but they never bothered and they never prosecuted or prosecuted very few people who were involved in all the riots last year. Okay.
Right.
All of those riots all over Portland, up in Minnesota, all over Baltimore, all those places. So what do you think when you hear the media or some of these Democratic politicians say, well, we all know that there was no corruption in the November election? I mean, you were there. I mean, doesn't it really bother you?
Well, and to be honest, it pisses me off to no end.
Right.
Because you're telling us that we're crazy is what you're saying. We saw with our own eyes. Many people watched the news that night when they were doing the elections, even prior to the recount as well. And if you remember, I was one of the first ones hollering, "We need a recount on this."
Right.
But when you recount, they still cheat because they have a system in place.
Right. Right. It's so unfortunate. But we appreciate you calling in. We're going to have you on again, because what congressional district are you running for?
I am in Congressional District 11 against Daniel Webster, and he is a Republican. It's an R+15, but he's missed 47 votes.
Wow.
He doesn't show up for the party. So
right.
Certain things like that shows you, you know, I don't know whose side he's on, but we don't need people that is not going to go in and do the work for us. We need fighters.
Yeah.
And people that's going to speak up and not afraid to speak up.
Right, right. We need to get rid of those rhinos.
And that's exactly what he, you know, I'm not going to call him for what he is, but at the same time, if you don't show up to vote 47 times, can you go to your job like that and miss 47 days?
Unbelievable. Unbelievable.
Mm-hmm.
Well, Ms. Letitia Jones, we appreciate it. We really do.
Yes, sir. Right. Keep up the good work. But when I was listening, I was like, I got to call in, because you know, that's the thing that makes my blood boil. So we'll talk soon and definitely keep up the good work.
All right.
I love Alabama.
All right. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
All right.
Blessings, everybody.
Bye-bye. Ms. Letitia Jones, she's running in Florida Congressional District number 11, folks, number 11. So if you can help her financially, she gave the website, for her campaign. Please try to help her out, because we need someone like her in the Congress, in the House, folks. So Letitia Jones, I'm glad she called in and let us know what's going on. Don't believe the media, folks. Don't believe them. You can look at Fox and you can look at Newsmax. That's about all you need to look at, because these other idiots are lying. You know, all of a sudden, Biden won Arizona. That was a lie. That was a lie. There were so many discrepancies. All right, folks, we got to get out of here. We'll talk to you again next week. Until then, everybody, Vicorn Dales.